I didn't plan it that way. But we're in 1 John 4. Just want to encourage you today. Because, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom around us. And you know what? We win in the end. Amen?
Amen.
We are on the winning side. And yes, the devil's God of this world. And yes, things will continue to get worse. But we're still going to heaven. And God's in control. And let's never forget that. So 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So our title is Greater is He That is in You. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to meet again and to open your word together, Lord, as an assembly, as a body, and to hear from you and your word. And we pray that you would bless your word today in our hearts, Lord, that we would open our hearts and listen and learn and grow, Lord, and honor you by honoring your word. We pray the Holy Spirit would use your word now to touch lives and work miracles, and you would guide us in your truth, and you'd be glorified. And we praise you for this opportunity and commit all this to you in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible teaches these great victorious truths, but he's speaking specifically to Christians. Amen. And remember that. That if you're a born again Christian, you're of God, as he says here in verse 4. You're of God. You are his child now. You are part of him, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. You're in Christ. And because of that, you have amazing victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have victory in the Lord. The Bible says here, we have overcome. Notice there in verse 4. Because we are of God, we have overcome this world. Now, it doesn't look like it sometimes, but it's true. Because God is on our side. Look at Psalm 118 in verse 6, if you would. Psalm 118, verse 6. And again, remember that what we see with our eyes and what's happening around us in the world isn't necessarily what's going on in God's realm. You know, there were times in the Old Testament when things looked pretty bleak for Israel. And every now and then God would just give them a glimpse of the reality of the victory that they had in the Lord. And it's the same for us. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord's on your side. Now, think about this question. What can man do unto me? What is the worst thing that man can do to us but send us to heaven? Right? It's the worst thing they can do to us. And so God says, don't fear. He's on our side. Now look at over in John chapter 16, if you would, in verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33. And if you are of God, which if you're born again, you're of God, you've overcome. It's not that you will overcome. It's already a done deal. You already have overcome. Look at John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus here is encouraging his disciples in the upper room. And he says, I want you to have peace in your hearts. Look what he goes on to say. In the world, you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might. He said you shall. And it's true for us. We will have tribulations in this world, sometimes more than others. But look what he says. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have tribulations. That's a fact. He says, but listen, I'm on your side, and I've already overcome this world. So don't get down. Don't get despondent. Don't get discouraged. Understand that Jesus wants us to have peace in our hearts, because we're with him and he's on our side. Now go to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. Look what the Bible says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now think about what that's saying. Oftentimes it looks like the world is in control and it's overwhelming, but God's on our side. My friend, you and God make a majority, amen? Because He's God. Look down at verse 37 of Romans 8, same chapter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. Do you know what? If you're saved, you're in Jesus. Which means you've already overcome the world, and that's what John is telling us. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Not because we're amazingly powerful, but because we're in Christ. We have overcome. It's already a done deal. 1 John 5, just one chapter over from our chapter, says, you're of God, little children. It says, whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. So the first thing God wants us to encourage us with in this passage is that we've already overcome. It's a done deal. We've overcome this world. Look at verse 4 now of 1 John 4. He goes on to say, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now let's talk about him in the world first. Let's get him out of the way. We already know who that's talking about, don't we? It's talking about the devil. And let's look at him for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. You got to understand this morning that God has allowed it to be so. But during this age in which we live, the devil is the god of this world. He is running this world. Now, God is ultimately sovereign, but He's allowed the devil to be the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you ever wonder why it's hard to get people to hear the gospel and believe it? Right there's why. Because the god of this world does his best to blind people's minds to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the god of this world. Now we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Talking about our past before we were saved. Ephesians 2, 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is talking about the devil. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. That is who God's talking about when he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. While you're in Ephesians, look at chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Understand, this is a spiritual warfare we're talking about. It's not something we can see with our eyes, but it's real. Look through the book of Daniel sometime and see after Daniel prayed and fasted for his people. And finally the angel came and said, I would have come sooner, but I was in the middle of a battle. A battle that we can't see with our eyes, but they're real. And the devil is real. And he is in this world, and he runs this world, and he's the god of this world. So why should we be surprised when we see evil around us? We shouldn't. The devil runs it. Why should we be surprised when the devil, or when we see the world attack churches? The devil hates churches. We shouldn't be surprised by any of it. But we shouldn't get discouraged. That's the point. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what does he mean by that? It means that if you're born again this morning, God lives in you. Could there be anything greater? First Corinthians, let's turn over there, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. If you're born again this morning, the creator of the universe has chosen to indwell you in the person of the Holy Ghost. Say, how can that work? How can the Holy Ghost indwell, say, millions of people? I don't know. But God's the creator. God's omnipotent, and God can do whatever he wants, however he wants to do it. And if God says it's so, it's so. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of who? God. You're the temple of God. If you're born again this morning, God lives in you. So when God saved you, yes, he gave you victory, praise God, and he forgave your sins and gave you heaven as your home, but he went much further. He said, I'm not only going to forgive you and promise you heaven, I am going to live in you. I'm going to be there for you and help you and guide you and convict you and protect you and show you the way. 1 Corinthians 6, if you would, verse 19. And so we should be praising God that the Creator, the holy, righteous Creator of the universe, indwells us, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And let's not forget it. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He lives in us. Greater is he that is in you. God is greater than the devil. God made the devil. And let's never forget it. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says that the devil's works and the devil's ways, they've already been destroyed. And you know what? The devil already knows this. But he's going to fight to the bitter end. Because the devil knows the Bible just as well as we do. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. When Jesus rose from the dead, that was it. The devil lost. Amen? That was the statement of victory. Death has been destroyed. What is the thing that the people of the world are more afraid of than anything else but death? Well, we have God. And we have God in us. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what do we have to fear? Absolutely nothing. What can man do unto me? Like David said, I have God. He's the creator. He's the upholder of all things. He's the giver of life. He knows all things, and he lives in us. So back to our passage this morning. That was our introduction of verse 4 there. But look at verse 5. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world loves to hear itself and talk about itself and promote itself. So why should we be surprised when it happens? Because they are of the world. You know, when Jesus came and began to preach, the very first word out of his mouth was the word repent. So that already the Jews are angry, because they thought they were going to heaven because they were Jews. And Jesus said repent. But then he went on to begin to talk about who he was. And then they got even more angry when he began to make statements like, before Abraham was, I am. And one day I'll return to the earth, and I and my Father are one, and so forth. And so then they got even more angry when he declared to be Jehovah himself in the flesh. But then they got even more angry when he began to point out the fact that they were sinners. And specifically, John 8:44, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Imagine, you're a Jewish leader. All your life you've been taught that if you keep all the jots and tittles of the law, you're safe and secure because you're God's chosen people and you're going to go to heaven. And Jesus comes and says, you are of your father, the devil. That didn't go over too well, did it? And in that chapter, they went picked up stones to cast at him. That's how well it went over. So should we be surprised when people who have the devil as their father act like the devil? No. It's in their nature. It used to be in our nature, but we've been now given a divine nature through Jesus. So they're of the world. Let's not be surprised that they act like the world. They speak of the world and the world heareth them, verse 6, but we are of God. So he's contrasting here those that are of the world and those that are of God. He's not talking about religion. He's not talking about denomination. He's talking about Jesus. Those who have Jesus Christ are of God, and those who do not have Jesus Christ are of the world. And those are the two groups of people in the world, according to God. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. You either have the Son or you don't have the Son. So he says, therefore, verse 6, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we've already now been introduced to this spirit of error. It's the devil. And his number one mission is to keep people from getting saved. And one of the ways he does that is through error. He's been doing that since the Garden of Eden, has he not? What did he do but say to Eve, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? And by the way, he didn't really mean it that way. Let me tell you what he really meant. You won't die. God's just being mean. God doesn't want you to enjoy all the benefits of eating this fruit. The spirit of error. And it's been going on ever since. Go to John 14:26. My friend, we have been given the spirit of truth. We talked about this already. But the day that you were born again, God and the person of the Holy Ghost moved in to you. You became his temple. And now you have the spirit of truth living in you to guide you into all truth. John 14:26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now go to John 16:13, where Jesus specifically refers to him as the Spirit of truth here, which is exactly what was said here in 1 John 4:6. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, the best teacher of the Bible isn't me, and it isn't some YouTube preacher. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And he indwells you. And if you will go to him and ask him for guidance, and say, like David said in Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes on it, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and you will go to God's word and you will study it, the Holy Spirit will help you and guide you. Nobody has a corner on God's word. And God, the Holy Spirit, the one who wrote the Bible, will help you understand the Bible if you will just put in the work and study it. He will guide you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now, if you would. And I want us to all understand this morning that we have indwelling in us the victorious one, God, but we also have indwelling us the Spirit of truth. And so when we are faced with the spirit of error, which is all around us and just keeps seeming more and more prevalent in the world today, what's the answer? Go to the Spirit of truth. And he'll show you the truth. He will guide you into the truth. And he will show you things to come. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. If you're born again, you have the spirit of God. And one of the things he will do, as it says there in verse 12, is help you to know the things that are given of God. Help you know the things of God through his word. He's there to guide us. And so when it seems like that spirit of error is so overwhelming and so in control, he isn't. It's just an illusion. He's already lost and he knows it. And remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that will never change. If you're a born-again Christian, God lives in you. And he is much greater than the devil. He made the devil. And one day, he will cast the devil into the lake of fire. And that will be it. Think about that. One day, we get to come back to earth and rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, the devil will be chained in the bottomless pit. No wonder it'll be a great kingdom. Won't have to deal with the devil. So he's already lost. Don't be afraid of him. And don't let him scare you or get you down. Jesus told his disciples, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He told them later on, some of you are going to die for your faith. How would you like to be told that in advance? How about if God came down today and pulled you aside and said, I appreciate you serving me and I want you to serve me even more, but in a few years, you're going to be killed for your faith. What would be our response? Would we turn and run? Or would we serve God? That's what he told the disciples. You're going to have tribulation. Many of you are going to die for your faith and go to heaven. And they did. So he warned them there in that upper room. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the one that has overcome the world indwells us. Praise God. So remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's why Paul said, from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If the devil gets Christians to get down and despondent, then he wins. And there's no reason for us to get that way. Because we've already won. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because greater is he that is in you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us so much that you not only saved us, Lord, but you moved in and made us your temple. And for that, we thank you. And Lord, help us to treat our temple properly and to understand, Lord, how important it is that we not grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we listen to the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide us into truth and show us things to come and to protect us from that spirit of error which is so prevalent around us, Lord. And may we remember that victorious statement, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And live our lives accordingly, victorious lives, Lord. As Jesus said, I came to give them life and life more abundantly. So thank you for encouraging us through your word this morning. May we live this great truth every day and look for those opportunities to serve you and please you with our lives. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.